Welcome to the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Joe and Ron are self-proclaimed teacher nerds, geeking out on all things education. They are looking to move educational practices out of the 1900s factory worker model to a student-driven classroom full of empathetic, creative, and collaborative students willing to take risks. Join them as they chat with educators from around the world, discussing educational tools, techniques, ideas, policies, and much more. Thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds. And now a word from a sponsor. On this episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast, Joe and Ron chat with Kevin Askew from Stop It Solutions. Stop It is a technology solution that empowers students and staff to speak up when there is trouble for themselves or someone else. It is 100% anonymous reporting to real people. There are even counselors from the crisis text line available. Listen to learn more about Stop It Solutions. And now let's get into the show.
Have you heard about the nerds? What's the word? Teacher nerds. You can tweet them out on Twitter. You can find them on the gram. After listening to their podcast, you'd be sitting there like, bam! Trying to take the teaching from one level to the next. Reaching up to Canada and down to Mexico. Gotta go. Teacher nerds. Start the show.
Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. I'm Ron Nober.
And I'm Joe DiPaolo.
I am a technology teacher for third grade to eighth grade.
And right now I teach third grade.
And we have a guest today, Kevin Askew. And Kevin is from Stop It Solutions. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit in the podcast. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron and Joe. Happy to be here this evening.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And you're coming in from New Jersey, just like Joe and I. So we're all New Jersey guys here. So
yep, lovely, gloomy Ocean County today, right?
Gloomy all over today.
Yeah.
I guess we really have to ask to see where you are in New Jersey. Two questions. Are you an Eagles or Giants fan?
I am a Giants fan, and I am actually the first town north of 609.
And is it pork roll or Taylor ham?
Pork roll every day.
All right. We agree on at least half of that.
You're half right, Kevin.
Thanks.
So we're going to jump into our icebreaker, our two yes ors, one no way. And today we're going to be talking about seafood.
It's time for two yes more, one no way.
A lot of our two yes mores, one no way do revolve around food.
Gotta eat.
And we're going to talk about whether it's seafood dishes or types of seafood. And I'll go first. So my two yeses. First one is a lobster roll. It's got to be a lobster roll. And it's got to be a lobster roll from like some kind of shack on the street somewhere in Maine. I think the place that I went that had the best lobster roll was a place called Red's in Maine. And it's just this little shack. You can't eat inside. You go up to a window and order. And
is that the one where they give you the lobster and it buzzes when your order's ready?
I was there a while ago, so I don't know that they had that, but it may be. It is at lunchtime. There is, before they even start lunch, there is a line of about 15 or 20 people every day in line. Yeah. And they just have picnic tables. You know, and
I think it's the exact one that I was at.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I just heard the other day, Stewart's Root Beer on Route 9 sells lobster rolls. And they are, I'm just saying, if you and Susan wanted to go for a drive to test this out, it would maybe be a half hour away. And I hear they're the best in Jersey.
All right.
I may give it a try, but a Jersey lobster roll, just like it doesn't go together for me.
I was surprised. I mean, it's Stewart's hot dogs, but it's right near the beach.
Yeah. My second is a good fish and chips, right? Like that good English pub fish and chips with like the malt vinegar. And, that's definitely a good one for me. And my no way would have to be
any kind of like octopus, or I'm not a big calamari.
Oh man.
Or anything like that. It's not.
You're hurting me.
I just can't. The suction cups, man. The suction cups get me.
Like, yeah, but you don't eat the. You don't. That's cooked. That's cooked.
Dude, there's still a suction cup on there.
Oh man.
So that is my no way. Can't do the calamari. All right, Kevin, what about you?
All right. So my two yeses, right, are the first one combines two of my favorite things, right? Shrimp scampi. So shrimp and garlic, right? And being half Italian, garlic goes into everything that I eat. And so that's one of my staples. And, you know, on the more healthier side, salmon, right? Love it, you know, kind of crispy in an air fryer or baked in the oven. Nice. And my absolute no, and just in a word, gross, oysters. Ugh. You know, not a fan at all. And they were in the news as to, you know, poisoning people.
Yeah, recently. Like another virus or something like that. And I the one reason I looked is because it was very similar to Corona, you know, the sound of the virus. And I'm like, is this a coronavirus through oysters? And
yeah, I think it was Noro or something.
Yep. And they were getting sick like 12 to 24 hours after eating them.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. An oyster's bad enough, but then getting sick on top of it from the oyster. Yeah.
I don't know how you don't get sick anyway by eating oysters. So then I guess I'll start off with my no way. It would have been raw shellfish. So raw clams, raw oysters, can't do them. Don't want them. And then seeing that today, I'm like, dude, and that's, that's why you don't eat them. But my two yeses, my one would be crab. Crab legs, crab cakes, crab anyway in a soup. I really do like crab. My second would be tuna, and I like it, you know, sushi grade, or grilled tuna, or baked in the oven, blackened. I would have to say those are my two yeses. And being so close to the beach, you know, I don't even think, Ron, we really have to go to the beach to get good seafood. Yeah. And then when you do go to the beach, it's just even better.
Yeah.
Now, will you ever do like raw tuna, like sushi?
Yep. Yeah, I like sushi.
Same here.
The whole all way around.
Yeah.
What's the place by us, Ron? That's the distributor. Seafood Select. Big Catch.
Big Catch. That's
Big
right.
Catch. Big Catch. You can go in there and you can get sushi grade tuna and just they deliver to all the restaurants around here. Yeah. So it might not be out of the water that day, but it was out of the water the day before.
Wow. I may have to check that out. It may be worth the drive.
I'll tell you what, every time I go, it's like, you're allowed to get this, you know, try not to spend over this amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can get expensive. That's the one thing I think, you know, when you go and get a lobster roll and your sandwich is $30 or $35.
Right.
There's a sticker shock there.
Yeah. A little bit.
All right. Well, thanks for doing that with us, Kevin.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
We're going to pause for a second to take a little break, but we'll be back in a moment. Would you like to hear your educational book, platform, or program advertised in this spot? With the Teacher Nerd sponsorship program, that could happen. You can be featured on the show and help us continue to bring great content to the podcast. We offer three levels of sponsorship, including commercials voiced and produced by one of the Teacher Nerds, as well as links listed on our sponsor's webpage. Visit teachernerds.com/sponsorship to check out some sample commercials and more information. And remember, that's nerds with a Z. And now back to the show.
All right. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your journey, you know, in education.
Well, my journey in education started like everybody else when I was three, right? Nursery school into preschool. No, but, you know, personally, it began in 2005, right? I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to serve a term on our local board of education here in Berkeley Township. And, you know, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things, right? And tying it back to professionally, I've been providing what I'm going to call commodity technology solutions to schools for now over 30 years, right? But about 6 years ago, something changed for me. I was hosting an ed tech event at my office for local schools, And I was asked a question that really changed my approach and outlook when it came to education. The question was, in all the years that you've been providing technology to the education market, what impact have you made, right? The question really caught me off guard, but the answer was easy. None, right? Selling commodity technology, while important, isn't impactful or doesn't make a difference, right? And so from that day forward, I was almost on a mission, right, to focus on providing technology solutions for education that have an impact and make a difference in the lives of those the technology serve, right? So I have to tell you, sitting here today now as a member of the Stop It Solutions family, I feel like I'm right where I belong.
Yeah, it's interesting that how that like one little twist, you know, one little question can make such an impact.
And it really did. And it just changed my entire outlook.
So I guess, you know, talking about that, it's a good kind of, you know, segue into how did Stop It Solution like begin and what is Stop It Solution?
Yeah. So let me talk about a little bit about who we are first, right? You know, at our core, we're a team of passionate and committed professionals focused on creating safer and healthier places to learn, work, and live, right? And we do that by providing students, employees, and communities with a portfolio of comprehensive safety and wellness solutions and services, right? And talking a little bit about how we came to be, we were founded in 2013 with a vision to fight cyberbullying at that time by using technology to give everybody a voice to help stop individuals from inflicting pain on others, right? Our founder, Todd Schoble, was inspired by the story of a 15-year-old girl, Amanda Todd, who was a victim of online predators and relentless cyberbullying by her peers, right? If you've ever heard the story, Amanda shared her story by flashcards in a YouTube video and then later took her life at only 15 years old, right? And, you know, we look at it as every day that we help to save a life and prevent that from happening, that's our why, right? And every day we get up trying to do that for those we serve.
Yeah, and Joe and I, that we share, we do a professional, not a professional development, but a family night at our district and at other school districts about digital leadership and digital citizenship. And Amanda Todd's story is in our presentation. Yeah. We talk about it because it's such a tragic story. And it's not the only story like it.
Right.
Fortunately.
And I don't think enough people know about the story.
No.
Parents and, you know, people that don't have necessarily someone at home looking out to them to talk to them about their kid. I think that's why it's awesome you guys are there for someone that maybe doesn't have an ally.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's multiple times where we'll get notes from a superintendent or a student services professional at the district that says, hey, you know what? We want to thank you so much because if not for your platform, we may have had a student commit suicide yesterday. Right. And it really just gives you chills thinking about it. And, you know, again, that's our why.
And can you kind of give us a little bit, how does it work? Like a K-12 school district, how does something like this work?
Yep. So in the simplest form, our anonymous reporting system, which is the core of our school safety platform, provides students, staff, and parents three easy ways to report, either through a mobile app, right? We know that students like to talk with their phones, right? They're afraid to talk in person, right? Whether it's an authority thing or just an adult thing, they're more comfortable and will share more things being able to talk with their phones. Also, we provide a web page, right, for any organization that signs up with us, allowing folks to go on the web and report, still anonymous. And then we have a hotline that is assigned to each organization as well that is manned by our in-house 24/7 365 crisis center. So three easy ways to to report. But what it does is it gives individuals a safe space to voice concerns, either about something that's going on in their lives or something that they see that may be affecting others, right? And we look at it from the standpoint of it's not a snitching platform, right? It's an upstander platform, because what we see is the majority of things that go on, incidents that get reported, right, or incidents that could be reported, 80% of them are seen by a peer, right? Yet without technology like ours or that safe platform, maybe only 20 to 30% of them ever get reported to an adult, right? And so again, going back to giving them that safe platform, meeting them in their world where they're used to communicating, provides them, you know, the safety and the confidence to be able to come forward.
And so it's always anonymous, which, is that correct?
100% anonymous, 100% of the time. What we do see, however, is from time to time, students will self-identify, or a student will be expressing a concern on behalf of somebody else, and they'll name who that person is. And then it gives the administrators better information to be able to address the concern, right? So a tip comes in from a student. The administrator also is able to two-way chat, still anonymously, to be able to gather more information and be able to work towards a resolution of the concerns that were shared.
And does it have to be something that is going on in school?
Doesn't have to be. Okay. It could be, as you know, and we've seen this, is so little Johnny's parents are getting divorced and a friend of his knows it and just reaches out through the platform and says, hey, you know what? Johnny's having a hard time. His parents are going through some rough times. Please just handle him with care in school. Right. Wow. So an administrator wouldn't know that information, but then can reach out to the guidance counselor or the teachers that Johnny has and just say, hey, you know what? There's some things going on, right? Maybe just, you know, be careful how you deal with Johnny over the next couple of days or something, right? So it could just be out of pure concern for somebody's well-being.
So does Stop It and the administrators at the school both get the same text?
Yes. So every one of the incidents that come through, or the reports or tips or inquiries that come through our platform, or are reviewed by our in-house crisis response team, right? And anything that is deemed an emergency is escalated immediately, whether within the district or after hours to first responders or local law enforcement.
And so I love the fact that even, you know, it doesn't have to be this catastrophic event.
It doesn't.
You said that somebody's reporting.
Because sometimes what we would deem a catastrophic, or what we would deem a non-catastrophic event, could be to the student, right?
Yeah.
You know, you never know, right? And think about this. All students come to school on a daily basis with their backpack full of books. Their books, their lunch, their supplies. What about the backpack we don't see, right? Full of issues, things that are going on at home, or things that are going on within their friend group, or a group that they want to be part of, right? Who's shutting them out? Nobody knows that. If this just allows them to say, hey, you know what? I'm going through a tough time. Just having somebody on that end, on that other end, who isn't going to judge them, who can kind of take them to a cooler place. It's that proactive dealing with root causes of things before you're forced to be reactive and deal with something bad happening.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And a lot of that, like you said, what we would consider like a non-catastrophic event, if you deal with it, then it's like, you know, putting out a small smoldering fire before it becomes, you know, a wildfire or something.
Yeah, putting out an ashtray before it burns down the house.
Exactly. Yeah. So what the people on the crisis hotline,
Yeah.
Are they like counselors or?
They're not counselors. So you can kind of look at them as almost like 911 agents.
Okay. Right?
You know, they've gone through significant suicide prevention training and, you know, through Johns Hopkins and some other very reputable training organizations.
That's awesome.
And I can tell you, you know, they are the difference maker for us, right? They are always on, always grabbing incidents and escalating them basically immediately when they need to.
Yeah. So now that I say it, Ron, maybe it is down at our end, because I really was under the assumption as a teacher, I would be hooked up into it and would be getting notifications. Which when I first originally heard of it, I was like, oh man, is this going to be like another Remind where it's just going to be another app where it's going to be sending me notifications? But it sounds like I'm only going to be notified if and when I need to be notified.
Yeah. And what happens is each district or organization gets to identify what we call lead administrators, right? So who is going to be the internal fielders of these inquiries or incidents or tips, right? And then what happens is they can then farm them out and assign them internally depending on the type of concern it is, right? We always do require a law enforcement contact as well in the organization, because if it's the middle of the night or it's the weekend and we need to escalate something immediately, we need to have that first responder contact to be able to reach out to.
Yeah, super important.
I guess for us, that would be the state police.
Right, or like our resource officer at school or something like that, I would guess, right?
Yep, yeah. Or even just local law enforcement.
Okay, so yeah, so yeah. Private
state or state police.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, because when I first viewed this at our district, you know, I always thought, like I said, you know, stopping a school shooting, stopping a suicide or something like that, but golly, the benefit for teachers, like you said, just to know, hey, Johnny's dealing with this situation at home. For every teacher who interacts with him to get that notification at some point is just so helpful in how you view his behaviors that day, or, you know, whether he needs to take a break and take a walk or to go to the guidance office if he needs to. That's almost priceless information that you could gather, you know.
And very simply, that could mean the world to him that day.
Right. 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 Yeah, for sure. So when schools sign up, are there different like levels of sign up? Like what do they get from Stop It in signing up?
Yep. So the core platform is our anonymous reporting system, obviously, right? And then our internal crisis response center. And also we have an integration with Crisis Text Line. So I don't know if you've ever heard of that national non-for-profit organization, but it's embedded into our app. And if it's, again, the middle of the night or Saturday and a student or staff member can't talk to an in-school professional, they can just push the little red button and they're connected immediately to one of over 27,000 trained mental health counselors across the country, right? And it's texting back and forth. It also is anonymous, right? School doesn't find out that, hey, you know what? A staff member was going through a crisis on a Saturday. They're not going to reach back out to the school and say, Mrs. Jones reached out and was having a hard time. It allows them, no matter when and where and what, to be able to reach out to somebody who can provide support and resources to help them get from a hot to a cool place.
Well, and I didn't realize it was even for like that, for even for staff members to just.
Our platform is always available. If it's brought on within a district, parents and staff get access as well.
That's great.
Yeah. And that's you. I mean, everybody knows from watching the news and hearing things like the stress that a lot of the teaching profession's under with being understaffed with subs and, you know, coming back from the pandemic and, you know, all the stuff that teachers are dealing with. So just to have that platform available to just to talk to someone sometime.
Right. I was going to say, with besides the booster shots they're sending out, they should be sending out therapists to everyone. Just to have,
you know, and I don't know if you're seeing this in your district at all, but talking with some superintendent friends of mine, right, as we say, knock on wood, that we're coming out of the pandemic and things are changing, right? And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, but what they think they're going to see in schools is an uptick in harassment, right? Because you're going to have a group of students who feel safe, or their parents feel safe enough for them not to wear masks anymore. Then right. You're going to have a group that either they personally or their parents still want them. And then you're going to have teachers, educators, staff that fall into the same bucket. They're going to go at it, right? It's inevitable that there are going to be kids that say, oh my God, I can't believe you're still doing it. And you're going to have the kids that say, I can't believe you're not. And, you know, all the superintendents that I talk to really see that they're going to have an uptick in that clashing of views.
Can definitely see that coming down the road for sure.
Yeah. And I don't know which, you know, I don't know many parts of the country, right, that aren't political hotbeds right now.
Right.
Right.
It's just the time we're living in.
Right. And, you know, to be able just to provide that, hey, you know what? I have the capacity and I have the ability and the platform to just talk to somebody, just to get it off my chest, right? Yeah. To be able to share my concerns about it, right? On both sides.
Well, I know it was meant as a joke when I said you should get a therapist with your booster shot, but it was talking to a therapist last year that I think was one of the things that helped me over that hump when things were so wild and it just seemed like every day I forget what the parable is, but the guy that keeps rolling that rock up the hill and the next morning he gets up and you're at the bottom of the hill and the rocks, right. If not bigger, the same size, like,
hey, and like you got to start all over.
Yeah. Yep. It was like that every day, except like each day, more and more people were throwing things at you. And, for probably about 6 or 7 weeks. And then it was like, all right, cool. I'm at a good place now. Not that I wanted to spend that hour doing that, you know, found other things to do. But yeah, to be able to have that outlet and to not be judged and just talk and let it off your chest, it's huge. And right. it will take you down off that ledge.
Yep. And you know what? I would be remiss if I didn't say it at a time during this chat, right? Thank you to all the educators and administrators and staff out there, because you know what? You guys are heroes too. And, you know, being on the front lines of this from the beginning takes very special people. And so thank you for what you do.
Oh, we appreciate that. Thank you. I mean, it's nice to hear that, you know, because sometimes it's...
And you probably don't hear it often enough.
Well, yeah, you know, I think in the beginning of the pandemic, teachers were, you know, seen as the heroes, you know, like we switched to doing things virtually pretty much over a long weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people who had never been on a Zoom or a Google Meet before in their life. And then, you know, it's there have been times where you've been the villain as well, you know. So it is.
Well, and you've had to juggle so many things, plus so many of you that have families too, right?
Right.
So you were also bringing that other backpack to school.
Right? Yeah. And I think we had a Dr. Bobby Downs, she's a educator administrator in Burlington County. And she was on, she's an expert in mindfulness. And she was saying, you know, one of the things that she felt was, again, that needing to talk to someone, even adults to children during the pandemic, as you went out, especially in the early days, you were almost looking at every other human being as like a biological weapon.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so there is some trauma that you're going to hold on to with that as you move into not wearing a mask, or, you know, moving into doing partner work in school again. And, you know, just even sitting close with a student as a teacher, you're going to have some of that angst build up inside you. And just to have something so simple to be able to, like you said, press a button and be connected with someone.
I think for a lot of people, it's going to be a long time before that feeling goes away.
Yeah.
Right.
So we talked about, you know, students being anonymous. It, because of that, are there safeguards in place to, like, you know, stop some kind of abuse?
Yeah, and, that's a great question. Yeah.
Or what if, like, they're screwing around?
Yep, that's a great question. And you know this, right? While it's almost impossible with any app to completely avoid misuse, right? We do provide, you know, a strong statement to any reporters prior to final submission of a tip, right? That pretty much states, hey, you know what? Submitting false or misleading information to threaten, harass, or get somebody in trouble is subject to organization discipline and criminal prosecution, right? That usually does the trick. And I can tell you, you know, our false reports are right around 1%. So we know that the vast majority of folks take the platform very seriously, right? And don't goof around. Now, there are some things that, while they're not false, would kind of be labeled as not overly important, right? Susie stuck her tongue out at me today. Okay, right? You know, things we want students to feel comfortable, right? You know, but not abuse it. And like I said, you know, with about 1% of reports being false or unsubstantiated, right? The platform works very well.
Right. And that's, you know, I'd rather have that than not.
Right.
So, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. I mean, 1% that's pretty amazing. Yeah. For how many students are using this?
About 4 million.
Jeez,
that's not bad.
No,
I was gonna say that disclosure you have before you finally submit, they should have that on Twitter before you hit post pop as well. Or yeah. Facebook should have that.
Well, what's going to be the consequences, though? What's going to be the consequences? Right. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It may stop a lot of people in their tracks.
But really,
think.
You know, but really what happens is, you know, when you get a really strong school community that adopts the platform, everybody feels empowered to be part of, you know, part of the community that keeps the school safe. Right. And, you know, really building up that confidence and empowering students, I think, is important. Right. Even at a younger age. Hey, you know what? I'm playing a role. I'm playing a role in keeping myself, my fellow classmates, and our teachers and staff safe.
Yeah. And you have to think, like, the kid that might be out there doing something might now even think more, because, you know, you won't worry about Johnny telling on you.
Yep.
Because you'll find out about that.
Yeah.
But now people find out about things, and the only one finding out will be you when you get in trouble.
Right.
Right.
So,
and you know, we know it deters bad behavior. It mitigates risk for sure. And it's proven to save lives.
And so, you know, talking about, you know, how you were saying about the school community and bringing this, building this community, does Stop It help with that? Like, with when a school signs up, do they help with the implementation and
absolutely, you know,
this is how we can roll it out, and this is the best practices for rolling it out?
Yep. And I have to tell you, right, that's, you can have the best technology in the world, the most well-defined processes, but it comes down to the people. And I have to tell you, we have a customer experience team that is second to none. From the beginning, and we don't call our customers, they're partners, because we're partners in providing safety for your organization. From the minute that partner signs their agreement with us, our team starts the onboarding, training, and then launch process. But then they don't go away, right? They're engaged with the district or organization all the way through the life of that relationship, right? And so we help organizations roll it out, get the students and get the staff trained, the administrators trained, and then help with the rollout to the students.
And when you're saying administrators, teachers could serve as administrators. You're not
absolutely
just
within the program. Absolutely. Gotcha. Yep.
And so could you, I know we might not be able to talk about specific costs, but like, what is it cost for a school to you know, to sign up, or, you know, the cost of the platform.
So I'm going to be a little tongue-in-cheek here with you, right? When, you know, when we talk about cost, nothing. And why do I say nothing? Cost is just an expenditure of time, money, and resources without any expectation of a return. Our solutions and services, we truly feel, are an investment in the safety and well-being of students, staff, and families, right? And these days, right, where never before in history, the money's available, right? The federal government has made funds available for solutions like ours that makes it easier for school districts to partner with us. And we have a whole team behind us internally that helps. If a district calls us and says, hey, you know what, we're really interested, but within our general funds budget, we just can't do it. Our team will find you the money, right? Wow. And so we'll find a way to be able to get our platform funded for you.
That's amazing to have that internal team to be able to, you know, work with districts. And it just, to me, it proves what your mission is.
Absolutely.
Right? Like you're standing behind what your mission is.
Absolutely. You know, we're mission-driven organization, right? We care about the impact that we make.
That's huge. So if schools are interested in, you know, in signing up with Stop It, finding out more information,
yep,
are there, you know, is there a website, social media?
Absolutely. Three easy ways, right? So they can email me, right? And my email address is kaskew@stopitsolutions.com. They can visit our website at stopitsolutions.com. And there's plenty of ways to contact us through the website. Or, as most educators are, on Twitter. I am personally, and our company also have Twitter pages as well for folks to contact us through that. And I monitor those pages almost 24/7 as well. So anybody that reaches out will get an almost immediate response.
And we put together a little, you know, list of show notes and links and everything. So we'll be sure to link all that,
right,
you know, into the show notes.
Certainly appreciate that.
And so just one more question. Is it K-12? Oh, I know you do corporate, right? Yep. It's not just education at this point anymore.
No, it's not just education. So we work with education, right? So K-12 and higher education, as well as workplace. We know workplace is experiencing a whole host of challenges themselves. And we look to provide employees that safe place, right? Those who aren't comfortable walking into HR because, okay, if I go and report something to HR, is it really going to be confidential? Am I not going to get that promotion? Might I potentially get fired? And then also on the public safety side, we have police departments and county prosecutors' offices that work with us for citizens to report, right? Things that are going on within their municipality or county, right? And so we work across the whole spectrum of different verticals.
Wow. I'm smiling because my friends tell me stories. My one buddy is a welder. He's worked construction. And when they would have problems, they wouldn't scream. They would holler. They would go out in the yard and they would duke it out. And I just think about, I know, Ron, you're shaking your head. Because like, he says, I don't know how you do this. Like you go, and I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't imagine having a problem with someone and then be like, you know what? Screw you. Let's do this. And going right out in the parking lot and just swinging. Yeah, maybe as a younger, naive, stupid 22-year-old, but as a grown man at work, holy crap. I couldn't imagine. But yeah. I guess, you know, in today's world,
a lot simpler to tap an app and open it up and text
someone. Well, not only that, I'm thinking you hit someone and they fall and hit their head. You know, one little argument could, and Kevin, you might know, sometimes I could be a little bit of a hothead and I'm trying to control and curb all that. But those are the things I think about. Like you hit someone, they go down.
What are the ramifications?
Right. Yeah, like right. What's going to happen next? And then do I want to go to court over this? Do I want to possibly lose my job over this? I just that's what's going on in my head, and you know, like I think Stop It's a much better solution.
I think so too.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that you're, you know, you all are working with, like you said, counties, and you know, because again, like there's so much out there that the idea of the snitch or something like that, but to be able to do it anonymously, it, you know, is I can't imagine how invaluable that would be to, you know, police departments or, you know, like you said, prosecutor's offices.
Absolutely. And it's really, you know, it's not snitching. It's being an upstander, right? And voicing concerns for your community.
Well, and Joe, like you talk about community in third grade, like this fits right in and being like this, that would be the perfect, you know, segue in a classroom of bringing Stop It in and being able to talk about it, of talking about what is a good community. Good communities are people who stand up for each other, who, and then there you pull Stop It in.
And that's, I mean, that starts in second grade. I want to even say it continues in fourth grade.
Probably goes into kindergarten as well. Like, you know,
could be in a community. What is a community for sure?
Yeah.
Right. I could see you guys doing a little project with having the kids make PSAs for the morning announcements about Stop It.
Hey,
there you go.
Classroom. You know what I mean?
Great idea.
Yeah, there you go. Some little projects for us. Hey, Kevin, we just can't thank you enough for joining us. And really, you've opened my eye. Like I said, we've used Stop It or have it in our school, but opening our eyes to how much more valuable I see it now. Than I did, you know, before we started to talk is great.
Good. I appreciate that. And it's been an honor to be here with the two of you today. I can't thank you enough for having me.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Teacher nerds, knocking on your door. Open up, let's take your teaching further than before. Give it a try, don't be shy, there's nothing there to lose. Worst thing that happens, kids get pain on their shoes. We're talking teacher nerds.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Keep up with every new episode by subscribing on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, or anywhere you listen. When you subscribe, be sure to give us a review and tell a friend. Visit us at teachernerds.com. Follow us on Twitter at teachernerds, on Instagram at teachernerdspodcast, or email us, teachernerds@gmail.com. And remember, we're nerds with a Z. Most importantly, thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds.